a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
A new conversation.
All right, here we go.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Dave and Dujanovic have inside sources.
We've got Boyd Matheson back in studio with us. Of course, Boyd here with us right out of the gates this morning on the Dave and Dujanovic show as we were, quite frankly, I was reeling from the news on Utah's Morning News, the breaking news that Tim Hughes reported that Colin Powell, the face of America's military defense for many, many, many years, has died. Died from an invisible enemy known as COVID-19. And he was fully vaccinated, according to his family. We have a lot of questions surrounding that, his vaccine status, how many shots he had. He was fully vaccinated. Had he had the booster? Did he get the J&J? There's just a whole lot of questions. We're going to save a lot of those questions for Dr. Tamara Sheffield from Intermountain Healthcare when she calls the show in 30 minutes.
Well, I truly thought he would be president of the United States. When I was growing up, and I was a teenager during the first Iraq war, and I remember seeing him, and he was almost a superstar. We would see his press conferences, and he would give updates, and we would watch the war unfold step by step. And I thought, this is Dwight Eisenhower, right? I mean, this guy is obviously, once he's done with his military career, he will run for president, and we all know him. And he just never materialized into the politician that many thought he would become. And that's probably a good and a bad thing.
Boyd Matheson in studio. It sounds like he didn't want to be president of the United States, although many, 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 many Americans wanted him to run for president.
If he got a nickel for every time someone asked him to run for president, he would have probably been the wealthiest man on earth because everyone trusted him. They believed in him, and they saw him as the kind of leader that, yeah, I'll follow that guy. Whatever he's selling, I want some of that because he had that trust and that character that I think really pointed out. And he was not – he was not like a John Wayne tough guy, you know, shoot him up and we're going to do all this by force. He was the consummate diplomat. He was always looking at, is there another way? Is there another point of influence? Is there another way to engage? And he also believed, too, that Congress had a very important role to play in taking the country to war, that those war powers, while the president can do a whole host of things, it's really up to Congress to do that. So he was very much in alignment there in terms of what the Constitution said. He always understood what his role was, whether he was chief of staff or a national security advisor or in the military or as Secretary of State. He never overstepped his bounds in terms of what his role or his responsibility was. He always knew who was in charge, what the line of command was, and then he was going to follow the principles that would lead to the right outcome.
Well, I think another angle, you look at Secretary of State, Joint Chief of Staffs, you look at a four-star general, there's so much he'd done. But I almost want to say he was a philosopher in many ways. Mm. The way he looked at the practicality and the realism of war and the world we live in and the importance of war. And over the years, they're created this this term, the Powell Doctrine, mm-hmm. and many of us, you know, may be familiar with it or we've heard it, but I remember I saw a clip. I want to play a little clip from the Dave Rubenstein show asking him about the Powell Doctrine. And this is what Colin Powell had to say about the Powell, his own doctrine.
You invented something that became known as the Powell Doctrine.
Not quite. It was invented by a Washington Post reporter. Who came to see me one day, and he said, I'm writing an article about the Powell Doctrine. I said, great, what is it? He said, what you always say and what you did when we invaded Panama and took out Manuel Noriega, one, make sure you go to war after all diplomatic and political possibilities have been dealt with. And there has to be a clear political objective, not just a military objective. And then the second part of the Powell Doctrine is, I used overwhelming force once, but what I've always said is decisive force, so that people don't think you have to sort of have a gazillion people. Just have what you need to have a decisive outcome.
Boyd, the Powell Doctrine. Have we lost sight of that sometimes?
Yeah, it's very easy to lose sight of that. Again, you get people in the room. If you don't have contrary points of view, I think that was another thing that was really a hallmark of Colin Powell, was he wanted dissent. He didn't want a room full of generals and commanders who were just going to tell him what they thought he wanted to hear. He wanted to know the questions. And so that's really where the Powell Doctrine emanated from, was just a series of questions. Have we exhausted all the diplomatic things? Do we have an exit strategy? What are the long-term ramifications that we're not thinking about today that we should think about for the long haul?
If there was such a doctrine, and clearly he did not take credit for it, we sure did not have an exit strategy from Afghanistan.
Yeah, no question about it.
We didn't check that box.
Did not.
At
in fact,
all.
There's about out of the 8 questions that constitute the Powell Doctrine, if you look at Afghanistan, there's some pretty gaping holes in terms of questions that simply were not answered by administrations of both Democrats and Republicans.
So, Boyd, you worked in D.C. Take us behind the scenes. Was Colin Powell still a player in the military defense strategy for the United States even after he stepped back from the limelight?
You know, he was always an influence because people would check in with him. And while he tried to play very reserved, he did have some moments where he stepped out front. We talked earlier today about his jumping in and endorsing President Biden in the last election. But those were pretty few and far between. He was much more an influence than he was a presence, because he also recognized that you can only have one Secretary of State. So even when he passed the baton to Condoleezza Rice, he made a very conscious, very clear step away. I'm sure they talked all the time, but it was very behind the scenes. And it shows how rare an individual Colin Powell was, because he was more interested in the power of the ideas than he was in the idea of power. And in that clip you just played, it's not about having that overwhelming force. It's having the right force. It's deliberate, distinctive, intentional. And so he was much more about the ideas of all of this. So he didn't have to be the middle of the middle. And he showed in his post-public life that you can actually lead from any point on the compass. You can have influence anywhere if you choose to do it that way.
Which is part of the reason I saw him as a philosopher, because as a 4-star general, and obviously a great tactician, and as you look into some of these engagements, whether it was Panama or Iraq, he was obviously a brilliant military mind. But it always stood out to me how much he realized these are humans. Mm-hmm. These are whether it's our military, but also we're sending them to take other people's lives as well. And it seems like he never forgot the gravity and the depth of what that truly meant.
Yeah, I love the idea of Colin Powell as a philosopher. I think that's a very accurate depiction of who he was, how he approached things, because he was never just looking at what was right in front of him. Great generals, yeah, great military leaders are always playing a little bit of a version of three-dimensional chess in terms of what are the impacts, what are the ramifications, and how do I take the information, make an observation, decide, act, and then do it again.
Boyd Matheson, thank you. A sad day, I think, for many people. Colin Powell passes away at 84 from complications of COVID-19. Thanks for joining us. We'll listen to your show, Inside Sources, from 1 to 3 today.
And again, Dr. Tamara Sheffield from Intermountain Healthcare calling the show in 20 minutes from now to go into details about underlying conditions, the vaccines, and the death of Colin Powell, former Secretary of State for the United States and the man that many Americans wanted to run for president.
Lots of people are coming to me saying, you need to run. Well, I didn't ever think of running, and I had no particular passion then to run, but I felt an obligation to consider the matter. And so I did. I'm a serviceman, and I try to do what I think is right. Most of the Republican Party did not want me to run as a Republican. They even put out statements saying we don't want him in the party.
Because you were too moderate? Or?
Yeah, probably, because I was too moderate, yeah.
Any regrets about not having run?
No. Why?
Well, some people say it's a great job. No?
Prove it.
Well,
Supply chain shock.
More than 60 ships waiting.
It's not just making things harder to find, it's making them more expensive.
Whether you're buying for the holidays or just need things at your house, it's all getting held up.
Work is now underway to get the Port of LA operating 24/7.
That's the goal. Get everybody synchronized to the best of our ability.
Hear special coverage this week on Utah's Morning News and a one-hour special Wednesday at 1. Listen this week to KSL News Radio, Utah's all-day companion for news.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.